Shichas Haran Osnun Beis. Rabbi Nachman taught as follows: Mikol Advarim Tzoik Kavod Hashem Yisbach. Everything in the world is screaming out the honor of Hashem. Mikol Advarim, everything. Everything is screaming out the Kavod of Hashem. Ki Melo Chol Haaretz Kavodo. Because as the Navi Yeshaya taught us, Melo Chol Haaretz, the entire world, is filled with Hashem's honor. Va'afilu misipure ha'goyim tzoe gamkein kvod Hashem yisbarach, kvod shakasuf sapru va'goyim kvodo. Even from the stories and the happenings and the conversations of the Gentiles of the world, everything that's happening in the world is an expression of kvod Hashem yisbarach. Amazing idea. Because on the surface, a lot of things are very far from kvodo yisbarach. But Rabbi Nachman says, a person who knows how to listen to the world in the right way, to hear what the world is trying to say, even though it sometimes doesn't express itself so well, everything in the world is really trying to express Kvod Shemai. Sha'afilu b'sipure ha'goyim tzoek Kvod Hashem Yisbarach. Ki Kvodo Yisbarach tzoek tamid, because Hashem's honor, the Kavod of Hashem, is screaming out always. David HaMelech, we pointed out once, that David HaMelech uses the word Kavod as a code word for neshama. Like when David HaMelech says, Uri Kvodi, wake up my kavod, it means it's a reference to the neshama. And I often find it helpful when we talk about kvod shemaim, the honor of Hashem, to think about, so to speak, the neshama of Hashem. Now what does that mean? God doesn't have a body. Well, what's the neshama of Hashem? Right, but the same way that the neshama is the hidden part within ourselves, that's always present, even if sometimes it's not identified so clearly. So the same thing is true here. We're saying the kvod of Hashem, so to speak, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills all of reality. And our job is to try to identify it, to try to pick up on it, to become deep listeners and deep thinkers and have deep eyes, to be able to see how everything is really expressing the honor of Hashem. U'merameiz la'adam sheyikrav elav yisbach. So everything in the world is calling out to you, inviting you to be close to Hashem. Everything's inviting you to be close to Hashem. There's no opportunity in the world. Even the nisyonos that you face is a way to get close to Hashem by overcoming that nisayon. The goal is to identify how is every opportunity a way to get close to Hashem. And Hashem is constantly, again, trying to, with great love and great affection for you, trying to bring you close. V'zesha adam nislav lefam b'soch tfilaso, Umaschil his palabis lavus, vecheshek gadol, utfilaso shagura umarutsa bepiv. Why is it, says Rabbi Nachman, sometimes a person is davening, and all of a sudden he gets very emotional, all of a sudden he connects deeply, all of a sudden he starts davening with great energy, and all of a sudden his tefillah starts flowing from a sincere place, not just lip service. So where does that come from? What happened? Ze'or Hashem yisbarach ba'atzmo kiviyachol. It's the light of Hashem that has entered into you and has wrapped itself around you, and you've wrapped yourself around it. Which means your inspired moments are given to you by Hashem. The fact that all of a sudden you feel very connected, it's Hashem, so to speak, speaking through you. That moment of tefillah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing himself to express himself through you. And then hopefully that wakes you up and you build on that. So there are moments again. So let's put the pieces together. Rabbi Nachman says again, the world is always talking to us. Everything in the world is conveying Kvod Hashem. Every conversation, everything you see, everything you hear, there's a Torah-dik way, there's a way of Dveikus B'Hashem to look at and to encounter everything that happens in your life. Good things, bad things, it's all Einon Mavadam. The whole world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod. Our job is to what? Is to reveal that to ourselves. That it shouldn't just be lying beneath the surface, but it should be something that we're able to identify. So when a person has an inspired moment of tefillah, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, waking him up, shaking him up, communicating through him. I keep saying through him because of the next line. Ki zeha islavus sha'adam islav b'tefillah. So that which a person all of a sudden... Mislahev literally means to flare up, right? That which all of a sudden he feels awakened, aroused during his tefillah, Zebachinas Hashem Yisbarach ba'atzmo kiviyachol. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself from within you. As the Pasuk says, Hu tehilascha v'hu elokecha. He is your praise and he is your God. He is your praise doesn't mean that when you praise Hashem, Hashem is the source of your praise. Right? That I am expressing words of praise to God, but rather, no, my praise is God. The fact that I'm able to daven in that inspired moment is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, again, communicating through me. Shehu Yisbarachu ba'atzmo ha'tehila v'ha'tefila. Hashem becomes the tefila. Hashem becomes the source of that tefila. Our job is to try to let Him in. Our job is to make ourselves, as we're going to learn today, into a kli that's ready to receive the Dvar Hashem. I want Hashem to be speaking through me. The same way Hashem spoke through Moshe Rabbeinu. The first four books of the Torah versus Devarim. The first four books, it was Hashem speaking through Moshe. Devarim was a little bit unique. It was, the Gemara calls Moshe mi piatzo. Moshe somehow found his own voice, which was trained to speak in the way that Hashem had trained him to speak. But the first thing I want to do is I want to be able to be a vessel. I want to be a kli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate through me. And I have to make myself open to that. If I put up walls, then Hashem is all around me, and Hashem is conveying messages to me all the time and wanting to, so to speak, be involved with me, and we're blocking Hashem out. Sometimes we feel that we're davening and Hashem is far from us. And I'm not able to, again, let Hashem in, so to speak. Min ha'adam. Hu tzarech gam kein lispalel lahashlich ha'tfilos achrav yisbarach. When a person... The best mashal I keep thinking of, even though it's such a silly mashal, is just that long pass to the end zone at the end of the game. Right? Percentage-wise, it's not a great play, but that's what you do when you're down to the wire and you need a touchdown to tie it or to win the game. You're way downfield. It's a ridiculous play, but you throw it up and you hope that someone catches it. So lahavdil, says Rabbi Nachman, people sometimes when they're far from Hashem don't like davening. I feel like, what's the point? So says Rabbi Nachman, what happens when you're not feeling, again, that inspiration, Hashem is not speaking through you, so to speak, and you feel distant from Hashem, you should still, what should you do? He says, L'espala u'lahashlech ha'tfilos achrav. Literally, throw the tfilos to Hashem. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashlech al Hashem yahavcha. Throw onto Hashem your burden. Throw onto Hashem Yahavcha, your burden. Shitzarech lizrok ulahashlech achrav yizbarach tfilos, keshu mistalek umisrachik min adam. If you feel that Hashem, right? Hashem is, so to speak, in his caravan. Hashem is in his Merkava. He's driving away. Right? You didn't have a chance to ask what you wanted. So you take your note that you wanted to present to the king, and you just try to throw it onto the wagon, hoping the king will see it. So a person has to train himself to know how to daven from a distance. Very deep idea. He says, this is what's referred to in the Tikkuni Zohar, Zebachinas, this is the concept of Zaka'a man diyada lizarka chitzen. Praiseworthy is the one who knows how to what? How to throw arrows. It's very important to know how to throw things in Hashem's direction, even from a distance. Hamuva b'tikkunim, as described in Tikkun Yud Gimel of the Tikkuni Zohar, Shitzarech lizrok achrav yisbarach tfilos kanizkar leil. To always be throwing things, tfilos, in Hashem's direction. There's a lot here. This last point is definitely what to talk about, this idea of davening from a distance. But I want to focus, in today's shir, I want to focus on the first part, which is training ourselves to what? To recognize kvodo yisbarach in everything. To be able to identify Hashem as being ever-present. And how everything is expressing Molochol Aretz Kavodah. Okay, let's take a look at source number two. In the Baal Shem Tov HaTorah, this quote is really from the writings of the Maggid, in the Lakutei Amarim, the Maggid of Mezrich. But I want to show you this idea of trying to listen carefully to the world and to try to understand when someone says something to you, what are they really saying? One of my favorite stories to tell, and I know I've told it before, but for those who haven't heard it, I'll tell it again. One of my favorite stories is the story of Rav Shlomo Freifeld. I always think about this story when I talk about this topic. When Rav Shlomo Freifeld went to the bank. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, the founder of the Shari Yashiv Yeshiva in Far Rockaway, went to the bank one time with one of his Talmidim, and he comes to the front desk, and he walks over to one of the tellers there, and he says, "Hi, my name is Shlomo Freifeld. I'm here to, I was asked to come to the bank to take care of something with the yeshiva's account." So she says, "Oh, Rabbi Freifeld, it's so nice to meet you. We've spoken on the phone many times, you know, I'm Betsy. Oh, Betsy, very nice to meet you." And she blurted out, it's like a funny thing to say, but she blurted out, she said, "Oh, Rabbi Freifeld, I never imagined you to be such a tall person." You know, and Rabbi Freifeld was like a very towering person, very charismatic, both in his way that he spoke and the way that he carried himself, very noble and regal appearance. So she said to Rabbi Freifeld, Rabbi, I didn't realize you were such a big person. Whatever, she had a different image of what Rabbi Freifeld looked like, right? She thought he was one of these short little Rashi Yeshiva, and he was one of these big towering Rashi Yeshiva. Okay, fine. Anyway, so she says to him, "Rabbi Freifeld, the manager of the bank who's up on the second floor wants to speak to you." "Okay, thank you very much." So Rabbi Freifeld and his Talmud, they go upstairs, they sit down, and the manager of the bank says to him, "Rabbi Freifeld, you know, we're looking over the account, and I know your yeshiva payroll is coming up, and I'm concerned that the account is a little bit short. You're not going to be able to make payroll. Looks a little short." So Rabbi Freifeld turns to his Talmud, he says, "Did you hear what just happened?" So he said, "Yeah, Rabbi, we need to do a fundraiser. Not going to be able to make payroll." So Rabbi Freifeld said, no, but did you hear what just happened?" He said, downstairs, they tell me I'm a big man." He said, "But upstairs, you come upstairs and they tell you that the account is a little bit short." Only Rabbi Freifeld could hear that. That's what Rabbi Nachman's talking about. Sapru begoyim kavodo. You have two people, two non-Jewish people working in a bank. One tells Rabbi Freifeld he's a tall person. The other person tells him his account for the yeshiva is a little bit short. Rabbi Freifeld hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Rabbi Freifeld, "In this world, everyone thinks you're a big shot. But maybe in the next world, there's more that you could have done. There's more that you could have accomplished. Maybe you're going to get upstairs and they're going to say, yeah, you aren't as big as you thought you are." And Rabbi Freifeld was inspired by that. To be able to listen to a mundane conversation and to hear as if, ki'ilu, mamish, nevuah, Hashem is speaking to you, that's a very chashiv thing. It seems like a hard thing to do, but if you're looking for it, it's so hard. It's really not so hard when you start to look for it. When you try to listen to conversations, make a game out of it. Play it as a game, today, just for today, since we're learning this topic. Right? Try to listen, when you walk past the guards, listen to what they're saying, and try to say, well, how is Hashem, what's Hashem saying to me? It's not late sonnes, it's a serious thing. In the Baal Shem Tov Torah, in source number 2, in the section on Megillas Esther, the Maggid of Mezrich taught, presumably from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, "Hine yadua ki kol ma she'odom roeh, o shomeya, eina b'mikra." Everything you see, everything you hear, there's nothing by chance. The Baal Shem Tov fought very strongly that people should believe in a very, very specific, a very precise Hashkacha Pratis. Not the more general Hashkacha Pratis categories that some of the Rishonim set up. The Baal Shem Tov spread the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in a very specific, personal way in your life. And therefore, everything you see and everything you hear, ain't no b'mikra. It's not chance. It's not by accident. Rak b'chol makom yesh nitzotzos kedoshim va'osios kedoshim. The words that are being spoken to, the experiences that you have, everything is filled with what? With sparks of holiness that sustain those things. V'choshkim u'misavim tamid l'sharsham. And they want to be elevated. So Hashem wants you to take that conversation, that simple conversation, and Hashem wants you to elevate it. How do I elevate it? When I walk past the guards and I hear them talking, how do I elevate their words? By taking it as a message from Hashem, and not just a mundane conversation between two human beings. Kol echad rotze v'choshek lizdabek mein kiyotzebo. That every bit of the Bria wants to be attached to a higher version of itself. Kmo ava la'ava, tiferes l'tiferes, all the different ways, all the different feelings and emotions. We could try to channel them towards something loftier. Ve'im ha'adam mala osa, if a person lifts it up, then azcharo gadol, then he gets a great reward. Because you took something which looked like it had nothing to do with God, and you were megala, you revealed the secret that it has everything to do with God. And that's what it means, he says, ki eis l'chol chefetz, like it says in Kohelis. There's a time for everything. Everything wants to be lifted up. And it's our job as, again, human beings, to find the way to lift it up. Why is this in his writings of Megillas Esther? He connects it to the scene of all of the na'arot, all of the young maidens lining up for their turn. Uvigia tor na'ara v'na'ara, when it was the turn of each young woman to come before Achashverosh. So to speak, this idea, ki zos ha'machshava nikris nukva. Right? Now he says it's a deep idea, but he says all of the na'arot, all of the young maidens, all the na'aros lining up, represents a machshava of kedusha. She wrote this lekabel kedusha. Everything's, the whole world's lining up in front of you. You're the melech. You've been endowed with the Jewish neshama. So everything in the world is crying out to you, help me. Help me to be elevated towards my source. Everything is lining up for a chance to come before you and want you to do something with it. Al derech mashal, he says, echad shira eza melchama. Imagine you see a war. Yeah? You read a report about a war that's taking place in the world. Or you see a battlefield, mamish. V'siper la'adam tzadik. And you tell the tzadik, you go to the tzadik, you say, tzadik, there's a war that's taking place in some country far from here. The tzadik zeh helo so machshav sol Hashem yisbach. So now the tzaddik, as he takes that idea into his holy mind, all of a sudden that war, whatever the war meant, lamaisa on the battlefield, right? Now he's doing something with that idea. He's taking the war and he's taking the idea of the war that you spoke to him, and now he's elevating it to his mind. Nimsa zo samachshava haisa ben amke aklipos kedimyon rishon shara melchama ben agayim. So this idea, which started off as what two, you know, nations, maybe barbaric nations, killing each other, all of a sudden has now what? Has become part of the Jewish conversation, has now become a thought of the tzaddik, and slowly the process of rectification, again, whatever this means, is taking place. So the nasa me'asiya dibor, the action becomes words, the words becomes thoughts in the mind of the tzaddik, and the goal is to, again, to take everything that we see and to try to lift it towards a higher source. It's a deep idea. Let's try to understand it a little bit better. Rav Tzadok writes about this a lot. And sources 3, 4, and 5 all come from Rav Tzadok in three different svarim. Where Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin explains this idea of trying to, again, to elevate the things that we see. This next line in Machshavas Chorot is really amazing. This one was new to me. I only found this in preparing this year. Beautiful description. He says, Kibalti, kach kibalti, this is what I received from my Rebbeim. Look at the world as a book. The world is telling a story. All of history is telling a story. And the Torah is the commentary on the story. History is, I think Rabbi David Aaron likes to say, right? History is his story. It's Hashem's story. Hashem's telling a story. Hashem is telling a story through the world. Right? Now, how do I interpret the story? How do I know what's being said? I mean, I could just sit back and watch the story. That's also okay. You can watch the movie. You can try to learn something from it. So the Torah, says Rav Tzadok, is the perish to the Sefer. If you want to unlock, you know, it's like you read one of these wild agaditas in the Gemara, right? These crazy Rabbah Barchana stories in the Gemara. And you're wondering, what's the pshat? Right? So Rabbi Nachman, in his Likutei Maran, explains some of those stories. But they're very deep stories. But you need to have the keys to unlock the stories. Otherwise, it's a lot of noise, a lot of background noise, distracting you from Hashem. If you have the keys to unlock the stories, you start to see how everything is not a distraction. Everything is part of the story of Hashem. So the Torah gives us the perush to what? To understand the story. And he quotes from the Rebbe of Bunim of Prishischa. And this is how I found this source, because I was trying to find where the Magid. I know the Magid mentions this idea, so it goes much earlier than Rabbi Rabunim. The Rav Tzadok quotes it from the Rabbi Rabunim of Prishischa on the words Mala Haaretz Kinyanecha. Chaver, tell me what's Pasha Pshat? Mala Haaretz Kinyanecha. The world is filled with what? With what? With your possessions. Okay, your possessions, your creations. Right, the world is filled with things that you made, God. But the way that tzaddikim interpret, again, I saw it first, I think Shana Aleph, I saw this from the Magid of Mezrich. But the Rebbe Rabunim apparently said it also. Many tzaddikim said it. Mala ha'aretz kinyanecha could mean what? Mala ha'aretz, the world is filled with kinyanecha, ways to acquire you. Beautiful taich. ways to acquire Hashem. You think Hashem is only found in the Beis Medrash when you're sitting in front of a Sefer? Mala, the whole Aretz, the whole world, is filled with kinyanecha, ways to acquire your relationship with Hashem. For some people, they communicate more with Hashem outside the Beis Medrash than in the Beis Medrash. The goal is, of course, to encounter Hashem in all places. Ratzalomar eich liknos oscha. The world is filled with ways in which to acquire you. Ulasig oso yisbarach. And to get to know you, Hashem. Don't discredit anything as being irrelevant to the story. You know, sometimes you read a book and there's like a character that's introduced in the book and it never really plays out. You wonder, why did the author need to introduce this character? This character wasn't essential to the story. That happens sometimes. As human authors, you put in characters and for whatever reason, you never tied up the loose ends. Okay, still a good book, but that character, not every detail, right? Not every detail was leading to the conclusion. Not every character that was introduced would tie deeply into the punchline of the book. In Hashem's story, which is the world, every detail is significant. Mala ha'aretz kinyanecha. Malo chola aretz kavodo. Every single detail is purposeful. And it's just waiting for someone to what? With a Torah perspective to come and to understand it in that way. Va'kol achuzim b'nafshos b'nei Yisrael. And everything is what is literally hanging, dependent upon the souls of the Jewish people. Afilu bali chayim tmeim. Why did God make pigs? Jews don't eat pigs. Jews shouldn't farm pigs. Why did Hashem make tamei animals? V'umos ha'olam. Why did Hashem make 7.5 billion people on the world? They're not charged with the mission statement of Torah. Why does Hashem need them? Every single person. Every single person is what? Is somehow part of the story of Malach Haaretz Kavodah. And again, it's our job as the Jewish people who have the what? Who have the peirush to the story, to the world, namely the Torah, to try to unlock the story. Yatzev gevulos amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael. Hashem set up the borders of the world in accordance to what? To the mispar b'nei Yisrael, according to the numbers of b'nei Yisrael. But also mispar, of course, means the sipor, the way that we interpret the story. T'chol la'olam kula la'nivra ela b'shvil Yisrael. The whole world was created for us. It's not with the sense of gaiva that we say that, but with a sense of what? Of responsibility. Shehem yakiru al yadam koach malchus yisbarach. Because if not for us, who's going to recognize Hashem? Who else has the possibility of finding God in the mundane conversations, in the mundane activities? It's us. We're charged with that mission. To recognize Hashem in literally everything in the Bria. To listen to the conversations and hear something more. The other story I like to tell is about a father who had lost his wife. And he was considering dating again. A number of years had passed by. He wanted to get remarried. He had a 21-year-old son from his first marriage who was also starting to date. So it was a little bit unusual. The father and the son were both in Shidduchim together. They're both looking to marry. And the son was sitting with his dad one time. And he says, "Dad, you know, for me, I'm a young guy. I've got my whole life ahead of me. But you're, you know, a bit older. And you're a little bit more set in your ways. And you've been married before. So, like, how are you gonna find someone? Like, for me, it's much easier. There's many young women my age who are looking to get married. For you, you're already, like, boxed in a lot more. It's probably hard for you." He was just being honest with his dad. So his father said, "Listen, you know, listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu has his ways of arranging shidduchim. And he says to his son, I'll follow the advice of the Torah." So he says, "What do you mean?" So he says, "The same way when Eliezer comes to the well, and he's looking for a shidduch for Yitzchak, right, and he's looking for a sign. So he says to his son, you got to look for signs. Hashem gives you indications when it might be the right person. You got to catch those signs. You have to try to ask, what is Hashem saying in terms of, you know, sending different suggestions my way, in terms of finding a shidduch." Okay. Anyway, so the father is, so he tells his son, he says, "I'm going to look for a sign." The same way Eliezer was looking for a sign. And he showed him, he opened up, he sat down. He said, "You know, it's good to review the psukim, to have a Torah perspective." They sat down, they looked over the psukim. Eliezer comes to the well, right? Rashi says that how did he know Rivka was the one? The water rose up to her. She must be a big tzaddikah. It's okay, fine. So a couple of days later, the father is set up to go out with a woman, a little bit younger than him, also was married, had lost her husband. She has some younger children. And he calls her up. He has her number. He calls her up to talk on the phone a little bit and to find the time to go on a date. So he calls her up. And she picks up the phone and she sounds very panicked. So he says, is everything okay? Okay. Is it a bad time? Should I call you back later? So she says to him, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I picked up because I didn't want to miss your call, but it's not a great time. He said, well, you sound very anxious. What's going on? So she says, no. She says, I have younger children. He says, yeah. So he says, one of my young children just took one of his bath toys and stuck it in the toilet and flushed the toilet. And now the water from the toilet is rising up and overflowing. So he's thinking, 2 days ago I just told my son that I'm going to look for a sign, for a shidduch, same way Eliezer came to the well and the water was rising up. And that was a sign that Rivka was the one. He says, I'm on the phone with this woman. And she tells me the water is rising up, it's overflowing. So he says, okay. He says, okay, I'll call you back later. Right? He ended up calling her back, they ended up going out, and they ended up getting married. They did end up getting married. This is one of the stories that does, not all stories end that way, but this one did, right? That's a person who's looking at something which is so seemingly irrelevant to the story, but he saw it as a sign from a Kodesh Baruch. He saw it as a way of a Kodesh Baruch communicating to him. Now I imagine he could have gone out with her and it didn't work out, but in this particular case it did. But the goal is to be the type of person who's listening and asking, what's Hashem saying? Why is my toilet broken? What's Hashem saying to me? To try to recognize in everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating. Rav Tzadok tells a great story in the Preet Tzadok in his writings on Pesach. He also has it in one other place. He tells a story about the Rebbe Reb Zusha. And he uses it to explain a pasuk, Gedolim Maaseh Hashem, Drushim L'chol Chafetzayim. Great are the deeds of Hashem, Drushim L'chol Chafetzayim. The way Rav Tzadok understands it, is who wants to darshan? You know how you make Hashem great in the world? By darshaning the things that happen in the world. So look at this maisa that he tells, two lines from the bottom of source number 4. Kamosha Mesapim Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Tells a maisa with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. What a great maisa. Shehalach v'derech letomo. The Rebbe Reb Zusha was walking one time, minding his own business, that's what letomo means. Uba l'negdo arel, ubikish oso, shiyisa'eyu l'hamid es ha'galashalo, im shachas shenafla. The Rebbe Reb Zusha was walking one time with some of his talmidim, and all of a sudden a non-Jewish fellow stopped him and said, Rabbi, can you and your students help me out for a minute? He said, what's going on? So he said, my wagon with the shachas, with the hay, with these big bales of hay, has fallen over and I need help lifting the hay back onto the wagon. Turn the page. So I don't know if the Rebbe Reb Zusha said or one of the Talmidim said. V'amar lo, sorry, eino yachol. We're not able to help you right now. Sorry. Sorry, we have to be on our way. I don't know. They didn't. Not sure why they didn't want to help. Maybe they didn't want Rebbe Reb Zusha was such a humble person. He'd probably be busy himself lifting the bales of hay. The tzaddikim, the talmidim of the tzaddik didn't want him to have to be osek in such a thing. They said to the non-Jewish fellow, I'm sorry, sir, we're not able to help you. Feheshiv lo ha'aral. So the fellow said back to them, Yachol ata, aval eincha rotza. What did he say back to them? Of course you could. Don't tell me you're not able, tell me. You're very able. You look like very able-bodied people. Of course you could. You're able to do this. You just don't want to help me. The Rebbe Reb Zusha said to the Talmidim, did you hear what just happened? So the Talmidim said, Rabbi, what are you so excited about? We insulted this non-Jew. Maybe we made a chil Hashem. I don't know. The Rebbe Reb Zusha said, no, but Hashem is saying something to us. What's Hashem saying to us? Sheramzulo shahei tata nafla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, the four letters of Hashem's name, corresponds to a lot of things. One of the things that it corresponds to try to explain this piece, let's say, is the four exiles of Jewish history. Right now, we're in the fourth Galus, which means that we've, so to speak, by getting through the first three Galios, we've already established, we've put into place Hashem's name, Yud, and Hei, and Vav, and now we're trying to overcome the fallen state of the final hay. So the Rebbe Reb Zusha said to his Talmidim, listen to what happened here. This non-Jewish person said, are you able to help me lift up the hay? And we said, we're not able to. Hashem, we can't help you lift up the hay. And Hashem says, don't tell me you're not able to. Don't tell me you're not able to. You don't want to. Don't tell me you're not capable of bringing Mashiach. You don't care enough to bring Mashiach. You don't want to bring Mashiach. Says the Rebbe Reb Zusha, this hey tata, the final hey, which is in a fallen state in Golis, we don't want to. We don't care, we're not paying attention enough. He quotes the Gemara in Sota on Daf Beis. Rabbi Omer, Lama nismecha nazir la parsha Sota. Why does the Torah place the parsha of the Nazir, who swears off wine, amongst other things, next to the parsha of the Sota? Lomar lacha to say to you, shekol ha-roe Sota bikilkula. If you see a woman who cheated on her husband and has been now degraded, disgraced as an Isha Sota, if you see such a thing, yazir atzvam en ayayin. You'll also want to swear off wine, because it was the wine and the drunkenness that led to the immoral activity. So says Rav Tzadok, I don't understand. Lama yazir atzvo? Why do I need to swear off wine? This woman has a problem. She needs to swear off wine. And a person who drinks, maybe they need to make a cheshbon on their drinking. I'm a healthy person. I'm a good person. I'm not worried I'm going to become a drunk like the Isha Sota. Why should I? I didn't do an Aveira. But it's like we've explained. Since you saw the Sota B'Kokula, why did you see that? Why did you see it? How did you know about it? Why did you know about it? Not everyone knew about it. How did you end up knowing about it? If you knew about it, Hashem wanted you to know about it. And if Hashem wanted you to know about it, this Hashem sending a warning shot, saying, I'm warning you, you need to think about this. You might not think this could be you, but it could be you. That's why you know about it. That's why Hashem revealed it to you. Anyone who heard about it needs to think about, why is Hashem sending me this message? It says it's something, that's the pshat of the pasuk. Gedolim maaseh Hashem. Great are the actions of Hashem. If what? Drushim l'chol chafzayim. If we darshan them. If we try to interpret them. If I ask myself about every single thing that I see, and that I know, and that I hear, to ask myself, why am I experiencing this? Rav Tzadok in the next piece, I'll just say it outside, says that if a person is, I don't know if I helped the guy in there. If a person is scared, all of a sudden you have this sudden fear. So ask yourself, why is Hashem sending me a fear? Why do I have this sudden anxiety? Right, where is it coming from? What's Hashem saying to me? Where did that come from? These are all messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a person. And like we said at the beginning, is to what? Is to make ourselves into Kalim, to receive the message. Let's talk about two baskols that come out to the world every day. Okay, and then I'm going to ask you if you ever heard these baskols. Have you ever heard a baskol? Baskol is a heavenly voice. It says in Pirkei Avos, in source number 6, in the 6th parak, the Brice of Kinyan Torah, I apologize for my raspy voice, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'chol yom v'yom baskol yotzeis mehar chorev. What's har chorev? Someone tell me, where is Har Chorev? Har Sinai. So every single day, a baskol comes out from Har Sinai, u'mochrezes, and it cries out, va'omeres, and it declares, oy lehem lebrios, woe to creations, woe to all people, me'elbona shel Torah, for the disgrace of Torah. A baskol comes out from Har Sinai, the place where we first got the Torah, every day, and it declares, woe to my creations, woe to the brios, me'al bona shel Torah. You've let me down. I gave you such a beautiful gift called Torah, and you don't appreciate it. And if you appreciate it a little bit, you don't appreciate it enough. That's the voice that cries out from our Sinai every day. In the Medrash in Eicha, we learn of another baskol. The introduction to the Medrash on Eicha, source number 7. The Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Shalosh Shanim Umechsa, Osa Shechina Yosheves al Har Zeisim. The Shechina, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, sat on Har Zeisim for 3 years. Savura Shema Yisrael Yasu Tshuva V'lo Asu. And in the time period of the Chorban, the Shechina was sitting there calling out to Klal Yisrael, do Tshuva. Vaisobas Kol Machrezes V'Omeres Shuvu Banim Shovavim. A voice was crying out to us, do Tshuva, come back, be close to me. Shuvah elayva, shuvah elechem. The cave in Shalosu tshuva. But once we didn't do tshuva, a voice came out and said, Eilech ashuvah el mekomi. Hashem says, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Other sources tell us that this voice never really left. It still happens every single day. The Baskol that cries out, Oy lahem lebrios mi'albona shel Torah, and the Baskol that cries out, Shuvu banim shovavim. Treat Torah with respect, and be chozer b'tshuva, try to be closer to Hashem. So the question is, has anyone here ever heard the Baskol? Did you ever walk outside, and all of a sudden, see the heavens open up, and hear a voice saying to you, calling you by your name, Moshe Tzvi, treat Torah more respectfully. Be chozer b'tshuva. Ever hear it? I never heard it. Anyone here ever hear it? So the first Hasidic sefer ever written, it told us Yaakov Yosef, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. It told us Yaakov Yosef asks in Parshas Re'ei, in Parshas Sav, in Parshas Kedoshim, what's the point of a heavenly voice that no one can hear? What's the point? If we woke up in the morning and we actually heard it, that would be purposeful. What's the point of a voice screaming out from the Shemayim, be a better Jew, if we can't hear it? Says Rabbi Yaakov Yosef in source number 8, told us Yaakov Yosef, Shem ein shomei as akruz lama machrizen, if no one hears it, what's the point? Leizah to eles hu akruz lelo yawil. What's the point of a voice screaming out if it doesn't help? To be explained, again from his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, as follows. He says, it could be that the kruz, that this call, this baskol, is not something that you hear with your ears. What did Rabbi Nachman describe? He said, a Jew has to try to what? To listen to the whole world, to try to listen to the sipurei gayim, and to try to understand and interpret events of the world. Right? Mala aretz kinyanecha, like the Rabbi Abunim said, the world is filled with ways to acquire an understanding of Hashem. So where is this baskol? So says the Tzoldes Yaakov Yosef, it's not a baskol that you hear out loud. Rabbi Nachman said, sometimes a Jew is davening, and all of a sudden, what happens? All of a sudden, he feels, I don't know, something flares up inside of him, and he wants to daven better. Or sometimes a person, out of nowhere, has a sudden hearer of tshuva. Or sometimes a person says, I need to learn Torah right now. Well, all of a sudden, where'd that come from? So says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, he says in the second to last line, V'tzarech leida b'machog remez hakruz. The kruz are hints that are given. It's not an actual baskol that you hear with your physical ears. It's what? Al yedei ha-machshava sheba'en la'adam b'chol yom hirhurei tshuva. It's those moments of inspiration. It's that moment when you're lying in bed in the morning, and the baskol tells you, get up and get the shir on time, and then you roll over and you reject the baskol. Right? You hit reject on the baskol. That moment of, I can do this. Right? Or that moment of connection during davening, or that moment of connection during learning. All of those are some of the hints that Hashem is sprinkling down upon you, and it's your job to what? To catch it and to receive it. Because if you hit the snooze button too many times, you know what happens? It just gets harder and harder and harder to hear the baskol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to waste my time, God forbid, with a person who doesn't want to hear. It says in the Gemara, and also in Pirkei Avos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, we know from the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the Torah. Hashem keeps the Torah. A lot of Gemaras, a lot of interesting Mamari Chazal about that, how Hashem practices what He preaches. The Rishalmi, that Hashem keeps the Torah. So the Shmuel of Slanim, the Divrei Shmuel of Slanim is quoted in source number 9 as saying, the Gemara tells us, and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, you shouldn't say something to someone who's not ready to receive. Right? Mitzvah shelo lomar davar she'eno nishma. Don't say something to someone if they're not going to listen. So if Hashem keeps the Torah, Hashem also follows that rule. If Hashem tries to communicate with you, and you keep saying thanks but no thanks, and you keep rejecting the baskol, it gets harder and harder to hear. Hashem tells you, Torah tells us, don't waste your breath, don't try to say something to someone who's not yet ready to receive. So the same thing is true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send the baskol to someone who's not interested in the baskol. And therefore, we have to try to make ourselves, like I said at the beginning, into a kli who wants to receive. I'm on the lookout. I'm like Rav Freifeld. I'm like the Rebbe Reb Zusha. I'm like that father who started dating again, looking for signs, wanting to hear the voice of Hashem in my life. When Avraham Avinu received the call of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, the Sfas Emes says he wasn't the only one who received the call. The whole world received the call. But there was only one person who was listening. Sfas Emes writes in source number 10, two lines from the bottom, The Ramban asks, "Shenemar lech lecha b'li shenizkar mikodem chibaso." Why does it say we don't know anything about Avram? Later we find out Hashem loves Avram. Avram's a great guy. Why does it? Avram just starts with lech lecha me'artzecha. We don't even know who he is. We have no clue who Avram is. Says this Fasemes in Parshas Lech Lecha, in source number 10, again two lines from the bottom of page 2. The Ramban asks, how do you start with Lech Lecha? Tell me Avram is a very firm person, and he's interested in God, and I don't know, put some of the Midrashim, breaking the idols into the Torah, something. He explains this Fasemes, V'zohar kadosh nira, ki zeh atzmo ha-shevach, she-shama zeh ha-maimra Lech Lecha, she-nemar me-Hashem Yisbarach, Lechol ha-nashim tamid. Hashem is always saying to a Jew, wherever you are in the world, Lech lecha me'artzecha, u'melatecha me'beis avicha. Get out of your comfort zone. Try a little harder. Stop convincing yourself you're not good at Gemara. It's a stupid way for a Jew to talk. Say, I am good at Gemara. Convince yourself you are good at Gemara. Convince yourself you can get to davening on time. Convince yourself that you can reject your Yetzahara. Convince yourself that you can put a filter on your phone. Convince yourself of things that you keep thinking, nah, I can't, that's not for me. That's for someone else. Convince yourself that you can. Make yourself a kli to receive the Dvar Hashem. So says this Vasem, it's really based on the Zohar. Hashem said to the whole world, Lech lecha me'artzecha. But there was only one Jew who had tuned in to Hashem's radio station. And that was Avram Avinu. And therefore Avram Avinu got the call when the rest of the world wasn't listening. Okay, Chevra, I want to conclude with two final sources. And I'm very excited to share both of them with you. The Rebbe of Shmelk of Nikolsburg was born in 1726 and died in 1778. Which means he's pretty early on in terms of Hasidus. The Baal Shem Tov passed away in what year? Anyone know? 1760. Baal Shem Tov was born in 1698. So he was about 30 years younger than the Baal Shem Tov, but he overlapped for the first 30 years of his life with the Baal Shem Tov. And the Rebbe of Shmelk, in Parshas Bechukosai, in the Divrei Shmuel, again, not to be confused with the other Divrei Shmuel we quoted, the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim, is the Rebbe of Shmelk of Nikolsburg, Talmud of the Magid, again, alive even in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, very early tzaddik in the world of Hasidus. The Rebbe of Shmelk brings a mashal that I find very, very powerful. Very, very good mashal to think about. He quotes from the Rebbe of Elimelech, and he says the following mashal. Okay? Take a look at the right-hand column in source number 11. The fifth line. Yeah. So he's saying a mashal from one of his contemporaries. It's correct. Yeah, maybe. Okay. They were contemporaries. Mashal who? You see? Five lines down, six lines down. Av ubeno holchu yachad bikaron. Okay, try to meditate on this mashal a little bit. Think about it in a deep way. A father and son are traveling together in a wagon. Uvaim samuch liyar. And as they're driving along the main highway, all of a sudden they approach a forest on the side of the road. Visham mitzuyim peiros ketanim. And the son looks out and he sees delicious little fruits, known to be very sweet, very tasty, growing in the forest. Vehema matok lachech, and they're sweet to his palate. Umiyad kisha ben roe haperos, bikesh me'av shismamea, veyachakelo at shiyulko meperos and iskaleo. So the son says to his dad, "Dad, stop the wagon, stop the wagon. Please, can you just wait for me a couple of minutes? I want to go collect some of the sweet fruit, some of the berries at the edge of the forest." Va'av amrlo balkarcho. The father says back to him, "Okay, fine, go quickly, but we don't have a lot of time. I don't want you to get caught up with these berries. We got to get to where we're really trying to get. Don't get distracted by the sweet fruit on the side of the road." But the Ben has a big taiva. The son says, "Dad, I'll try to be quick. I need to taste some of these sweet fruits." Ben hahu letaiva yavakesh v'loke lakita basa lakita. And the son goes into the forest and he fills his pockets and he brought along a little basket, he starts to fill up the basket, right? And he just says, "A few more, just a few more. A little bit more. They're so delicious, I need to save some for later." Top of the left column. Hav tzoek b'ni, halo nechutzum anachnu l'darkeinu. as the sun gets deeper and deeper into the forest of the fruit, the father calls out to him, "Son, we got to get going. Come on, we got to get moving. We're on a mission. We have somewhere we need to be. You're wasting time and more time in the forest. We got to keep moving. I'm under pressure. We got to go." But the son says, "Just a few, Dad, a few more, just a few more. Soon, soon, we'll get to where we need to be." The father sees, "Well, what can I do with this kid? He doesn't understand. But he's my only son. I love him very much." Even though his son is acting foolish, the father has rachmanis on his son. What am I going to do? I'm going to abandon my son. Va'omer ha'av libeno. Shema b'koli. Listen to my voice. I want to give you some advice. I want to give you some advice so you don't get lost in the forest. And I want to make sure that you're able to find the path back. B'chol pam tzaok titzak avi avi va'anochi mashivcha b'ni b'ni. He said, "Son, you walk along the forest, and we're going to travel on, right? And I want you to keep calling out, 'Dad, Dad.' And as long as you can hear me respond, 'My son, my son,' that's a sign that you're not too deep into the forest. Aval kisha'incha tishma koli. But if at some point you stop hearing my response, if you can't hear my voice anymore, oz tavin sha'ata mesubach v'savcheyan. That's a sign that you've gotten a little bit too deep into the forest. And then you better come running as fast as you can. You better come straight out of the forest. Because that's a sign that maybe we're disconnected from each other, and that's the last thing that either of us want." It's an amazing mashal. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, listen, there are a lot of distractions in the world. You could hear them as my voice, or you could be distracted by them. But as long as you still hear my voice, as long as you're still getting the baskol, as long as you're still davening to me, or at least what? Like we learned from the Tikkun Ezar, shooting arrows from a distance, as long as you're still what? You know, again, at the end of that football game, Lahavdil, you could still see your guys downfield, right? You don't know if they're going to make the catch, but at least they're, right? But if there's no one downfield, there's no point in throwing the ball all the way to the end zone. There's no one there. So as long as Hashem, so to speak, is somewhere, even if he's distant, as long as we can still maintain, we could hear Hashem's voice in the distance, then we're doing okay. But if, God forbid, we hit the snooze button on Hashem's baskol too many times, and Hashem's not talking to us anymore, then we have to know we have a serious problem. We have to do some serious contemplation to try to get back on track. We conclude with the final source from Rav Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. We have to express our karas hatov to Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, even if you've never heard of him. Rav Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld was a Jew who passed away in 1978. He was the father-in-law of Rav Chaim Kramer, who established the Breslov Research Institute, which brought much of the writings of Rabbi Nachman to the world in English and in many clear forms, many svarim, to give access to those who didn't have access. And Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld was a pioneer in teaching Rabbi Nachman in America. He was one of the first people to teach Rabbi Nachman in English to American Jews and to inspire them to be chozer b'tshuva through the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And he gave a series of shiurim called, published under the title Rabbi Nachman's Soul. They were written up by Shlomo Katz, the musician from Eretz Yisrael, and teacher of Torah, and Rebbe. And they published his shiurim on Sichos Haran, which he taught. You have to realize he was teaching this in America in like the 1950s. It's pretty wild. He was mamish one of the first, if not the first, to be teaching Rabbi Nachman to an English-speaking audience. And by the way, if you looked at him, he didn't look like a breastfeeder at all. He looked like a regular guy in the back of your shul. No beard, no payas. Looked like a simple, modern Orthodox type of Jew. But he was mamish. He lived and died by Rabbeinu Zal, as he always called him, Rabbeinu Zal. His whole life was inspired by Rabbi Nachman. And again, we have to have a lot of akar satov to have access to even have heard of Rabbi Nachman here in America, thanks to Rav Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. So it's written in the Sefer, in Rabbi Nachman's Soul, on the piece that we're learning today. He says, what happens when a Jew, again, when we stop hearing the voice of Hashem? And what happens when we're far from Hashem? Why did Rabbi Nachman connect the second piece of the Torah to davening, trying to feel Hashem in our davening, to let Hashem daven through you, or even to what? To feel out of desperation to just lob things up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hoping that Hashem will catch them. What is necessary then? How does a person fight back? He must arm himself with a weapon, the weapon of a voice, the weapon of tefillah. Meaning, God forbid, I think what Rabbi Nachman is saying is, if Hashem stops talking to you, if you're too deep into the forest, you can't hear Hashem's voice anymore, so you better keep screaming out as you're running towards Him, keep screaming out to Him. Hopefully, Hashem will at least hear your voice. Arm yourself with the weapon of a voice, the weapon of tefillah. One must learn how to shoot powerful arrows at the Satan, for these arrows are the secret weapon of the Jew. As an example, in traveling abroad, one is always asked, do you have anything special to declare? Are you carrying any weapons? When I was recently asked that question, I said, absolutely, I do. They were shocked. They were shocked expressions. A confession, they couldn't understand. They looked at me and said, you don't look the type. Chaver Google after Shir Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, you'll see he doesn't look the type. He does not look like the gun-toting type. They looked at me and I said, you don't look the type. I said to them, but I do have a weapon. What kind? More powerful than an Uzi. What is the weapon? Hashem Uzi Uma'uzi. Hashem Uzi Uma'uzi. I have a Sefer Tehillim. It's very small, and it's very powerful too. So, Chaver, we have to try to be open to hearing Hashem. It's so easy to spend our whole life just being distracted by the world. And then you're going to get to the Olam HaEmes, and God's going to be like, no. So, did you like what I had to say to you? And you say, God, to be honest, I was just going to say the opposite. You never communicated with me once. I never heard you once in my life. Hashem's going to go through the story with the parish called the Torah, Tzaduk taught us. He's going to show you every single thing was a cry to you, was a call to you. And I wanted you, and you wandered too deep into the forest. So hopefully we can be Jews who don't wander into the forest, who keep our ears and our eyes and our hearts open, and to continue to daven. To continue to daven. A few people spoke to me recently about the frustration of davening when you feel that Hashem is distant. Okay, so we have to learn the secret of shooting arrows. To be able to keep trying and to keep shooting arrows at a distance. And hope, you know, the same way that again, Lahavda, when that player makes the catch in the end zone and they win the game on that last ridiculous play. So hopefully if we keep shooting our voice in the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we'll reopen that channel of connection. We'll be able to hear how Kodesh Baruch Hu is communicating back to us as well. Okay? Questions or comments? Yes? Let's hear.